I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
On the morning of August 19, 2003, 11-year-old Heaven Lachey Ross, known as Shay, left her home in Northport, Alabama to catch the bus for school, but she never made it. Despite extensive searches and national media attention, there was no sign of Shay for over 3 years. Then, in December of 2006, her remains were discovered beneath an abandoned house just 8 miles from her home. It's been 21 years since Shay was murdered, and investigators are still searching for the person responsible. Hey everyone, welcome back to Detective Perspective. My name is Derek Levasseur. I'm a licensed private investigator and former police detective. Each week I'll be covering an unsolved case in story format. I'll then give you my perspective on the investigation and provide contact information for the individuals or organizations connected to the case so that if you have any tips, you can contact them directly and maybe you can help solve a case. So if you're someone who's interested in true crime, specifically unsolved cases, and you would like to hear my opinion on those investigations, please consider subscribing whether you're watching on YouTube or listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever platform you use. So tonight's case, it's an interesting one. Actually, the 21-year anniversary of this case will be coming up on August 19th. So it's absolutely a cold case. And I find myself in a interesting position because normally I have a pretty good feeling on what transpired, at least what happened to the victim, maybe not the who. But with this particular case, I'm kind of 50-50. And so I'm really interested in getting your feedback on tonight's episode because I think this could have went down one of two ways. As far as who's involved, we're going to get into that as well. But this case reminds me a lot of the Michelle Norris case, which I have not covered here on Detective Perspective. But if you've watched Breaking Homicide, you saw me cover that case. And we're going to talk a little bit about Michelle's case and how it relates to this one near the end of this episode. But if you haven't watched it, maybe go check it out. You'll have a better understanding of what I'm talking about throughout this episode. But overall, there are similarities with it, which make me think Shay may have known her offender. So I'm going to go over all the specifics of the case to the best of my ability. Again, not all the information has been put out there. It's still an open investigation. And then we'll get to the end of it. I'll give my perspective, and I'm really looking forward to getting your insight based on what we do know. So with all of that covered, let's dive into this week's case. Heaven Lachey Ross, who went by Shay, was born on June 11, 1992, to her mother Beth Thompson. Shay grew up in Alabama with her siblings and stepfather Kevin, who was more like a father to her. The family lived in Holt before moving a few miles away to Northport, where they settled into a home in the Willowbrook Trailer Park, located right off Highway 82. Beth described Shay as the sweetest kid there was. She was a homebody who adored Kevin and was known as a peacekeeper in the family. She was a tomboy who loved playing the trombone and wasn't afraid to get muddy playing in the nearby creek, but she also enjoyed dressing up as a cheerleader for Halloween. By August of 2003, Shay was 11 years old and about to start the sixth grade at Collins Riverside Middle School. The Tuscaloosa News reported that at this time, Shay was your typical preteen girl who loved butterflies. She even decorated her room with them. She wrote in her diary about a boy down the street and how much she loved her older sister, Alex. In mid-August, Shay and Alex started school. Their mom was working overnight, so their stepfather, Kevin, was the one who got them up for school and made sure they were ready each day. At around 6:30 a.m. on the morning of August 19th, Shay and Alex got ready for school. Shay picked out a pink Bratz shirt, hot pink shorts, and light blue canvas shoes to wear. Now at around 6:50 a.m., Alex left the house and started walking toward the bus stop, which was around 50 yards away on Hunter Creek Road. It's important to note that she didn't walk with Shay because she usually walked with a friend, and I did do my best to try to find out who this friend was, what their name was. I couldn't find it publicly. It doesn't mean it's not out there, but that is information that I did try to find and was unable to do so. And even if I was, I probably wouldn't mention it publicly, but it was something that I was interested in, and it may become more clear why I was interested in that information as we go throughout this case. Now, a few moments later, at around 6:55 a.m., Shay was about to head out the door when Kevin noticed that her bag looked a little heavy. So he offered to give her a ride, but she said she was okay, and she walked out the door. Now, I wanted to mention this because this is also going to come into play later, and I go back and forth on this because it's the first day of school. Some may argue that the first day of school, you don't have a lot of your books yet, so your bag's going to be lighter. Some may also argue that the first day of school, your bag is going to be heavier than it usually is because you have all your notebooks and pens that you're not able to leave at school in your locker yet. So on that first day, you're bringing it all to the school. So depending on what school of thought you're in, you could look at this bit of information two different ways. Now, just a few minutes after Shay went out the door, Kevin heard thunder, and knowing that thunderstorms really scared Shay, he went after her. And he later told the Tuscaloosa News, quote, "When I came out the door, I didn't see her at all. It's like she just vanished." Now, at this point, I just want to remind you guys, there's really nobody else to confirm this story. It would only be Kevin or Shay, and Shay's no longer with us. And I say that because Beth was in the home, but she was sleeping. And when we're trying to build a timeline of when Shay disappeared, it's important to note that the only person who can corroborate this part of the story is Kevin. And I don't think I'm going out on a limb here by saying right off the bat, he would be someone who would be on my list of people of interest. That said, according to Kevin, when he didn't see Shay, he drove to the bus stop and found Alex, but there was no Shay. The two returned home to see if Shay had gone back there, but she hadn't. So at around 7:05 a.m., they woke up Beth and told her that Shay was missing. Beth later told CBS 42 that she immediately knew something was wrong. They got in the car and drove to Collins Riverside Middle School, and when they got there, Beth ran over to Shay's bus, but the driver said she never saw Shay that morning. After receiving this information from the driver, Beth then called 911 and reported her daughter missing. The police met her and Kevin at the school, and then they followed them home. The police did not immediately treat Shay's disappearance as an abduction. In fact, for the entire morning and afternoon, they believed that she had simply run away. They later told Tuscaloosa News that they thought Shay would show up at home after school. Now, the police did canvass Shay's neighborhood to see if anyone had seen her walking to school, and they found multiple people who had. At least three neighbors reported seeing Shay that morning: a neighbor a few houses down, a young man walking to the bus stop, and another neighbor who was working at a computer near a window. In addition to canvassing the neighborhood, the police also searched neighbors' homes and reviewed surveillance footage from a nearby bar and grill, which would have shown any vehicles in the area of the bus stop, but there was no sign of Shay. Now, in my opinion, here was the first mistake in this investigation. I like the fact that they were speaking with neighbors and that they were looking at surveillance footage, but why not set up a couple roadblocks? Just set up a certain radius where you have a couple officers monitoring vehicles, maybe stopping them, questioning them to see if they had seen someone matching Shay's description. It wouldn't have hurt anything, and it would have only probably taken a couple officers to maybe write down some names, to write down some registration plates, to see if anyone who was suspicious that day may come back into play later in the investigation, even if it didn't result in finding Shay at that moment. But by not doing that and just focusing on the immediate area, more than likely Shay was already outside their perimeter. And if someone had taken her, they were also outside that perimeter. So while they're looking internally, the offender's getting away. And so this is where I feel like it would have been advantageous to say, okay, how much time has passed since she went missing? Okay, it's been a while. Let's really expand this radius, try to block off a couple of the main arteries, talk to people, see what we can find. Worst case scenario, we've dotted our I's, we've crossed our T's, and we can review the information later. But they didn't do that. When school let out and Shay didn't come home, the police realized that they had a problem, and the whole dynamic of the investigation changed. They kicked into high gear, calling in the FBI and the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and national media outlets began reporting on Shay's disappearance. Now, even though all of this was going on, no Amber Alert was issued for Shay. The police stated that they were still investigating her disappearance as a missing persons case, not a kidnapping. They explained, quote, "At this time, there is not enough evidence or probable cause to indicate that this could be an abduction." Now, this clearly is mistake number two, because you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. If you can get more resources by simply putting out this Amber Alert, why wouldn't you do that? Put out a description of where she was last seen, her description, what she was last seen wearing, and allow not only your agency, but surrounding municipalities to be aware of this information as well. That way, if they run across her, whether it's a runaway child or just someone who's walking to their friend's house and skipping school, the police would stop this person and then we would know where Shay was. And I've had that happen before, where an Amber Alert goes out, we end up finding the small boy or girl who in some cases just was playing hooky. But at that point, I can tell you this, when we bring them home, yes, the family's pissed off, but also relieved, because now they know what happened. And if it wasn't for that Amber Alert going out to the agencies surrounding the community, we probably wouldn't have had that outcome. So I don't know why they didn't do it. I don't understand why you wouldn't go beyond the scope of what you think it is just to play it safe, but this was a decision made by them and there's no going back now. And Beth did tell the Associated Press that she didn't think it was the right decision not to issue an Amber Alert. She was adamant that Shay had been abducted and that she hadn't just run away. Shay's aunt also echoed this sentiment, saying that everyone who knew Shay was certain that she hadn't run away or skipped school. The aunt believed that maybe someone had offered Shay a ride and she accepted because of the bad weather. And it's important to note that Beth agreed with this theory as well. The following morning, a command center was set up in Shay's neighborhood. The community came together, helping in any way they could. Volunteers plastered flyers all over town, and more than 100 businesses donated items to aid in the search. One local businessman even offered a $50,000 reward for Shay's return. For weeks, the police and volunteers searched for Shay, focusing on areas near the home and gradually moving outward. They searched properties in Northport and Tuscaloosa, both in the cities and in the surrounding woods. The lead investigator in the case even hung up a pink brat shirt identical to the one that Shay was wearing when she went missing, so that anyone searching would know exactly what they were looking for. Now, while the police and volunteers conducted searches, the FBI interviewed Shay's family. They were separated and asked to fill out questionnaires, and both Beth and Kevin were given polygraphs, which, from what we understand, they both passed. Now, as far as what questions were asked, I think they would have started with easy ones, like who are Shay's friends, family members? Was there anyone that she would go hang out with or stay with? Was there someone that she had mentioned, a boy or a friend in the community that she had started getting close with? Were there any problems in the household? They would start to go into that. Was there any issues of violence in the home? Did Kevin or Beth ever put their hands on Shay in any moment in time? Was there any discourse in the house where Shay had expressed not wanting to stay there any longer? They're going to go everywhere with this, and it's going to get very uncomfortable. There would even be a point where they might pull Kevin aside and say, "Kevin, was there anything you ever did to Shay? Did you ever become sexual with her?" They would also probably ask Beth the same question. "Hey, did Shay or Alex ever come to you and accuse Kevin of touching them in a sexual way?" I can tell you, you have to be careful how you pose these questions, because you don't want these potential victims to be offended by your questioning. And that's why it's so important to preface everything by saying, listen, our number one priority is to find your daughter alive and well. And if she's in a situation that's dangerous, we want to find her as soon as possible. And the way to do that is to understand the who has her, who took her. And in order to do that, we have to ask all the questions, even the difficult ones. Sometimes the families and friends understand it. Sometimes they don't. It's just the nature of the job. And I think the way you phrase those questions is very important to the success of the answers you receive. So they're going to run the gamut here. They're going to ask everything under the sun. They're going to know everything, and they're going to then speak to local law enforcement, compare notes, and see if anything stands out to them. We are just getting started in this case. There's so much more to cover. There's still a lot of theories to go over as well. But before we continue, let's take our first break.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Okay, we're back, and by the start of September, Shay's disappearance was featured on America's Most Wanted, but unfortunately, it did not result in any major leads, and the tips also began to slow down as well. Now, here's a really unexpected development in this case, because on September 12th, the command center was shut down. Then, at around 2 a.m. on September 25th, Beth and Kevin woke up to the smell of smoke. They rushed to locate the source and found that Shay's bedroom was on fire. Kevin acted quickly, bending the plexiglass windows in Shay's room to release the smoke and put out the fire. The couple then called the police, who arrived and found that the fire had been ignited in the corner of Shay's room, involving a recliner and other pieces of furniture. Beth told the media that she believed whoever was responsible for Shay's disappearance was trying to, quote, get the rest of the family. The Tuscaloosa News reported that following the fire, many volunteers withdrew their support for the Shay family. Some volunteers and members of the public suspected that Shay's parents knew more than they were letting on. Now, after the fire, there were a few updates in Shay's case until March of 2004, when the state fire marshal announced that investigators believed the fire in Shay's room was started intentionally. The fire investigation report showed that the fire began in a small hole in the floor at the foot of the bed and at the foot of the recliner. Investigators found a cigarette butt and trash inside the hole. And as far as I can tell, authorities have never named a suspect in this fire, but I will tell you, it's extremely interesting. And I want to know more about this trailer park. And again, this was something that I tried to look up and I couldn't find it. I've seen different style mobile homes. Some are put up on risers like concrete footers, and they're off the ground to create separation from animals and the outside elements. Some are on a small cement slab where you really can't access the bottom side of the mobile home. And then some are right on the ground. And that here is the big differentiating factor that we would need to know to have a better understanding if it was possible for someone to start this fire and make it look like it came from inside the home when in reality it was started by someone outside the home. If it was up on risers, it's possible that someone could have shown back up at the house, because now law enforcement wasn't there anymore, you know, crawled under the mobile home, stuffed the cigarette butt and this trash up inside the hole in an attempt to destroy any potential evidence inside Shay's room, and maybe even more so just burn down the entire mobile home with Beth and Kevin inside. That could have been the intent. It's also very possible, as volunteers and some members of the community have speculated, that if Kevin and or Beth are involved with Shay's disappearance, there could have been something inside that room that they didn't want police to eventually find. What that might have been, we will come back to it. But just to put this part out there for right now, if there were something in that room that would have caused Shay to run away and it implicated either Beth or Kevin, they would have a reason to destroy it. But just to push back against that theory, you have to remember that this was still over a month after Shay had disappeared. And at any point, if there was something in there that was critical to the case and Kevin or Beth knew about it, or this person on the outside knew about it, they probably would have tried to get to that room sooner, because by that point, law enforcement had already packed it up and left the scene. So if there were anything that they were going to grab from that room, you would think they would have already done it. So you can definitely interpret this fire any way you want. And I don't think whatever way you go, it can be heavily disputed. Both theories are plausible. And I do think it's compelling. And I do agree with the fact that more than likely this fire was somehow related to Shay's disappearance. I do not think it was a coincidence or an accident. The person who set this fire did it intentionally. And I don't think it's a stretch to say that it was to destroy some type of evidence that unfortunately law enforcement missed. Now, in August of 2004, 1 year had passed and Shay went missing. Unfortunately, there were no major updates, and Beth told the Selma Times Journal, quote, "I always say she's coming home. I firmly believe that." 1 year after Beth made that statement, Kevin sat down with Tuscaloosa News to talk about Shay's case. He said, quote, "To think it's been 2 years, it's just hard to swallow. As far as I'm concerned, my baby's still alive, and I know for a fact that she wants to come home. I will never, as long as I'm living, I will never give up on Shay." At that time, the lead detective also spoke to the Tuscaloosa News, stating, quote, "I'm always thinking about Shay in the back of my mind. There's not a day that goes by that I don't think about or do something in this case. It's frustrating not to be able to resolve this for the family or for anyone." The detective mentioned that they still received leads about the case. In fact, in the last month, someone reported seeing Shay at a school in North Alabama, and another person said they had seen her with a relative in the Gulf Shores area. The detective went on to state that neither tip proved to be viable, but at least they were still receiving information. In August of 2006, the case took a turn when police in Prattville, Alabama announced that they believed Shay's case could be related to two other cases: the disappearance of Teresa Dean and the abduction and murder of Shannon Polk. 11-year-old Teresa Dean went missing on August 15, 1999, near her home in Macon, Georgia, which was also located in a mobile home park. She has never been found, and police suspect foul play. On August 16, 2001, 11-year-old Shannon Polk was abducted from Candlestick Mobile Home Park in Prattville, Alabama, where she lived. 7 weeks later, her body was found in the Autauga County Wildlife Management Area. The Prattville police pointed out many similarities between Teresa, Shannon, and Shay's cases. All three disappeared in mid-August, 2 years apart. All three victims were 11 years old, and they were abducted from the mobile home parks where they lived. Additionally, in all three cases, there was construction nearby, such as commercial construction, roadwork, or bridge building. The Prattville police were careful to note that there was no direct evidence linking the three cases, and no definite connection could be made until Teresa and Shay were found. Years later, federal investigators determined that there wasn't enough evidence to conclude that Shay's case was related to Teresa and Shannon's, but it is important to note that all three cases remain unsolved to this day. So we've covered a lot in this case so far, and there's still more to go, and if you remember the teaser, you know where this is heading. But before we get there, let's take our last break and we'll be right back.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
All right, we're back, and I wanted to get that break over before we get into this last part here, because this is where the unfortunate news comes. Because on December 18th, 2006, a man was walking his dog or 44th Court in Hull, Alabama, just 8 miles from Shay's home, when his dog ran into a crawl space below an abandoned house. The man went to get his dog and noticed skeletal remains in the crawl space. He called the police, and detectives quickly arrived at the house, which was secluded, located at the end of a long, isolated dirt road. Detectives noted that the house was difficult to find unless you knew where you were going, and was known as a spot where people use drugs and engage in other illegal activities. Now, before I continue and get into what we're about to get into, I don't understand this. This was a house that was known for illegal activities where criminals would go and hang out. And it was only 8 miles from Shay's home, and yet it was never checked? Or was it checked and just not reported, and that's why we don't know about it? If I'm the investigator, or I'm even a patrolman working this case, yes, we're going to canvass the area. Yes, we're going to set up roadblocks to talk to people. But I would probably go and check the areas where known criminals are hanging out. Other illegal activities. Potentially sexual assaults, potentially physical assaults, just simple assaults, obviously drug use. And whenever you have drugs involved, the other crimes will follow. So if I'm a criminal and I've just abducted a young girl and I don't want to bring her to my house, would I potentially go to a location where I know it's off the path and police aren't really aware of it? Probably. But it sounds to me like the police were aware of this location, even though it was difficult to get to. And the fact that it was difficult to get to would make it more of an attraction for me as a law enforcement officer to visit and vet and see if there was anything there that could lead me to Shay. So it sounds to me like originally they didn't do that. And if that's the case, well, that's a huge mistake. So now back to this abandoned house, because detectives are there. And they look inside the crawl space, and they immediately knew the remains were Shay's because they recognized the pink brat shirt that she had been wearing. And nearby, they also found a backpack with Shay's name on it as well. So they were 99.9% sure that the body they found was in fact Shay, but they would need to conduct an autopsy and get those DNA results before they could make that 100% match. So to talk a little bit more about this house before we continue, it's only 8 miles away. Is it possible that Shay voluntarily went to this house or was abducted and brought there immediately after she disappeared? Of course. Would them, when I say them, I mean the officers going there immediately have made a difference? I don't know. It's also possible that she was brought there after being killed. And we're going to talk about that again. But either way, this tells me that whatever happened, it wasn't well thought out. something went down and the offender wanted to dispose of Shay's body, whether they took her there immediately after killing her or whether they went there together and maybe went there to hang out, do some type of drugs. I don't know. Something went south and Shay never left that location. But there's a lot to be said here because Shay could have been buried in the woods. She could have been thrown in a body of water. And yet she was found in this abandoned home. And it's my belief that, again, whether she went there voluntarily or was abducted, she went from her home to this house, and that's where she remained. Now, even though the family was waiting on DNA results, on December 23rd, just 2 days before Christmas, a funeral service was held for Shay. The family planned to lay her to rest once the testing was complete, and after the service, Shay's grandmother told the Associated Press, quote, "We had so much faith that she was still alive. We never thought this may have been what happened to her." Shay's uncle mentioned that finding her body gave them just the thinnest bit of closure, but it also raised more questions. He said, quote, "We've been brought closure in a minuscule way, but when you lay her to rest, the only thing we're going to be thinking of is why. Why would someone do this to her? That's all that's left for us now." In June of 2007, DNA results confirmed that the remains did in fact belong to Heaven Lachey Ross. Beth told the Associated Press that having Shay back home brought her a little bit of closure. She said, quote, "I don't worry as much now. I know where she is, that she's not somewhere hungry, cold, and being abused." And what a consolation that is, right? Imagine that. Imagine being a parent and feeling better about the fact that your daughter is dead as opposed to being abused somewhere. I can't imagine being in that position where you're sitting there saying, "I don't know what happened to her, but I would rather this than to think about the fact that she may be out there somewhere right now calling out my name, hoping that I'm going to come rescue her." And I will tell you, I have talked to a lot of family members who have dealt with the disappearance of a child. And they do say similar things, that they just wish, even if their child is gone, that they would know where they were and that they were no longer suffering. And I think as a parent right now, it's hard for me to imagine having that type of rationale, but I do kind of see where they're coming from after so many years of being numb. You just want to know that your child's no longer in pain. And it's terrible to think about. And I can't imagine being in that position. And that's why every time I cover cases like this, especially being a father myself, it just gets harder and harder. Now, after Beth made that statement, that same month, the police provided an update stating that the investigation into Shay's death was still ongoing. However, they did not disclose the cause of death. And to this day, as far as I know, the police have never revealed how Shay died to the public or to her family. And I have to say, and I said it on the last case, I agree with this. You know, some of you may not, but I don't think knowing how she died, if they even know how she died, I don't think disclosing that to the public helps them in any way. It's going to bring more pain to the family, and it's going to take away a piece of guilt knowledge that they have about this case, where if someone comes forward with information that could lead to a suspect, or if someone comes forward and confesses to this murder, they're going to have no way to verify that information. So this is something that you want to keep internal, and I will always support this decision. And I will say one more thing. There is a very strong possibility that because of the decomposition of the body, they don't know how she died. But again, that's the reason you don't reveal this information, because the bad guy doesn't know that you don't know. And that gives you the advantage. Now, even though the police didn't reveal the cause of death, one of the few details that they did share about Shay's remains was that they couldn't determine if she had been killed at the house or if her body was brought there after the fact. They also mentioned that the length of time her remains were exposed to the outside elements made it difficult to recover any DNA or biological evidence, which they said hindered the investigation considerably. And we know this to be the case. We've talked about this at length in other cases as well. A body being exposed to those elements in that condition where you have animals and insects, it's going to be something that within a very short period of time, a lot of DNA evidence is going to go by the wayside just by the rain and elements of the outside. You're going to lose a lot. What's interesting to me, my final kind of word on this abandoned house, is the fact that this house was so populated by criminals in the past for drug usage and other illegal activities. No one ever knew that there was a body there. During the hot summer months in Alabama, they wouldn't have smelt something that they may have looked at. And the question is, did they look at it? Did they go down there and see what they saw and say, you know what, I don't want to report this because I could be connected to it. That's possible. I also think about the horrific world where the offender had visited this site multiple times to potentially admire their work, to use this as their trophy case. And we've seen this in other cases as well. And it's, I say all this not to make a horrible situation worse. If you can identify individuals who were at that abandoned house often, and they noticed someone who would come by and hang out and linger, but never really participate in what they were doing, just kind of looking around the area, those are people you want to speak with. Those are people you want to incentivize to come forward and maybe turn on other individuals who were there. Because if you start interviewing them and throwing them on polygraphs and starting to look at their criminal history, maybe you'll find a connection. And if I had to guess, when you're talking about the duration that Shay was there, because I do believe she was there almost instantly, I would suspect that at least once or twice, the murderer revisited that house. So you find out who those people were, and you potentially find the killer. Now, in the years that followed the discovery of Shay's remains, there were few updates, and the police later said that they were hopeful after finding her remains it would lead to a quick arrest, but unfortunately, that didn't happen. In 2013, it had been a full decade since Shay went missing. Beth sat down with the Dothan Eagle for an interview and said, quote, "It has been a rough 10 years. A rough, rough 10 years. At this time, the police provided an update as well, revealing that they had collected trace evidence from around Shay's body. And while they hadn't been able to match the evidence to any DNA, they continued to test it as technology improved. And what this tells me very quickly is that they may have something, but whatever they have, it's minimal. And so although the technology available right now may not be able to do anything with that evidence, they're hopeful that as DNA progresses and it's progressing rapidly, there will be a future technology that will be able to utilize what they do have and maybe make a break in this case. In August of 2019, Beth spoke with the Tuscaloosa News to discuss the case as a whole. Beth expressed concerns about how the initial investigation was handled, specifically that she didn't believe police took Shay's disappearance seriously at first. She said, quote, "I don't think they reacted fast enough. They thought my baby was a runaway. I do have some animosity about some things." She added, quote, "This was the first case they'd ever had like this. It is what it is." And I do agree with Beth here. I said at the beginning of this episode, roadblocks, Amber Alert, treating this case initially as the worst possible scenario would have been the right move. We talk about them waiting until school was let out and seeing if Shay came home. What's that, 6-7 hours? That's an eternity. You only have 24 to 48 hours with these missing persons cases, and that's a stretch. Every second that goes by that you're not out there doing something actively to find this person could be the difference in finding them alive or dead. So I agree with everything she said here, and I think that she's spot on. We'll never know if it made the difference or not. She's already gone. The only time we could truly maybe get some answers is if we find the offender and this person is willing to divulge what actually happened, but I wouldn't hold my breath for that one. Now, Beth did also share that she felt a little bit of relief when Shay's remains were found, but she still longs for justice and answers. She stated, quote, "What I need is an arrest and a trial. That would be my closure because then all my questions would be answered." And that's basically what I just said now. If you got this person, maybe they would be able to share what happened. But as I just said, I don't know. I think they would probably just till the end of their life say they didn't do it unless you had something concrete to put them at the crime scene. But we'll never know until we find them. So I'm with Beth on this one. We need to find this person. They need to be brought to justice, and we need to see what they're willing to say. And Beth went on to say that she was still left asking why anyone would want to hurt Shay. She was the sweetest kid there was, and it didn't make sense that anyone would want to hurt her. Beth mentioned that she was more interested in the why than the how. She avoids thinking about what happened to Shay after she disappeared and doesn't want people to ask her about it, and I completely understand. Now, during this full interview, Beth pointed out that Shay would have turned 26 that year, and she said, quote, "I think about her all the time, every day. I wonder what she would be like, what she would look like, what her personality would be like." The police also spoke to Tuscaloosa News, and they were pretty candid. They mentioned that all their tips and leads had dried up, but detectives still reviewed the case every so often. Now, here is one thing they did say about the case, which I found extremely interesting. They said, quote, "There's ideas we have as to who could have done this, but as far as proof or any evidence, we have nothing." What do we take from that? There's ideas we have as to who could have done this, but we have no proof. Well, yes, it could be someone from the area, but to me, if I'm reading between the lines, they have a suspicion that the person who's involved is someone they've known all along. Who could that be? I would say a family member, friend, or immediate neighbor. But if you really pushed me, I would say there might be an idea amongst investigators that maybe a family member was involved, especially after this whole fire went down. I mentioned volunteers and members thinking the family couldn't be involved. Who's to say that investigators didn't think the same thing? And by no means am I saying they're right. I'm just trying to pull back the curtain and let you know what is potentially being said without being said. Now, in addition to that statement, the police also said that they believe someone who frequented the area around the abandoned house where Shay's remains were found probably saw something, heard something, or knows something. They're asking that person or people to reflect and hopefully come forward. Now, to fast forward to 2023, Beth spoke to WBRC to mark the 20th year since Shay went missing. She decided to share a message for the killer, stating, quote, "Give it up. It's been more than 20 years. Come on. There's no way you're sleeping good at night. There's no way anything good is going on in your life. And I could not agree more. You are a scumbag. You have no purpose in this universe. Come forward. Give this family the closure they deserve. That's the only thing you have left to offer." And I know I've given a lot of quotes from Beth tonight, and I'm glad I did. They're all important. That last quote from her probably being my favorite. But I want to leave you with one more because I think it really drives home the point of why we're doing what we're doing here on this show. And this quote came from Beth when she spoke to WVUA and said that there are still people who don't know Shay's story, which is, quote, "disheartening in its own." And that's exactly what I'm trying to convey here to you guys. Even though it's been so long, even though this case has been covered by America's Most Wanted, even though there's been multiple public announcements from police and multiple interviews from Shay's family, there are still people who do not know this case. And there may be someone who can actually have an impact on it who's unaware that the information they hold could be critical to finally solving this thing. Now, Beth ended that quote by saying she will never give up hope that the killer will be found, and she hopes she's alive when they are. And that's where we stand on this case currently. Shay's killer is still out there somewhere, and her family continues to hope that one day they will be caught and they will be brought to justice. Okay, so let's dive into this perspective and add on to a little of what I've already said. First off, let's talk about a profile for this suspect. To me, as I always tell you guys, window of opportunity can tell you a lot. This was a very small window of opportunity, both geographically and from a time perspective. We're talking about 50 yards away from the home, and we're talking a maximum of 7 to 10 minutes. And if you're to believe Kevin's story in its entirety, he came outside almost instantaneously and Shay was already gone. We do have these witnesses who saw Shay walking. So if they're accurate in their remembering of what happened and they got the date and time right, then we do know that she did leave the house. The question is, what happened between the time that the last witness saw her and the bus stop? That's the big question. I also want to point out that this abandoned house, I think, pretty much solidifies the fact that this wasn't some transient, this wasn't someone who happened to be working in the area but wasn't familiar with it, because this abandoned house, as the way it's been described to us, would have only been known to locals and even more so known to to drug users and criminals that lived in the immediate area. It was a really tough spot to find. It isn't something you would just drive past. So whoever is involved with what happened to Shay, they are from that area. There's no doubt about it. So with that being said, I'm going to leave you with three potential theories for this case. And if you have more, by all means, put them down in the comments below. I probably have some more as well, but these are my top three. The first one being that it was a neighbor or a person walking in the area. As I just said, small window of opportunity. Could it have been a construction worker or a neighbor or someone who was out just walking around? Potentially. But here's my problem with that scenario. It's a public area. It's a residential area. There's a school bus stop nearby. If someone random had just walked up to Shay and said, "Hey, you're coming with me," I would think she would have resisted. She would have told them no. She would have kicked. She would have screamed. Someone would have heard something. And yet we have no accounts of that from any of the witnesses. So I do feel this scenario is unlikely. I don't see her willingly going with just a random stranger because it was thundering outside. I don't think that's plausible. But let's just say for a second it is. You want to look at individuals in that area who have a previous history, sex offenders, violent criminals, individuals who had been floating around the area, maybe in the days leading up to it, maybe in the days after the disappearance, who weren't normally there. Those are the people you want to try to, you know, focus on. But again, if I'm working this case, you don't want to have tunnel vision. You don't want to rule it out. There's no reason to rule it out. But this wouldn't be at the top of my list. This out of the three would be the lowest. Now, the next theory we're going to talk about, and this is a difficult one, and if Beth or Alex or Kevin or any family member or friend of Shay's is watching or listening to this, I want you to know I mean nothing by it. I'm doing my job. And if you're doing your job correctly, whether it's here telling the story or as an investigator, you have to vet all theories, even though some of them may be difficult to do. And I wouldn't be doing my due diligence if I didn't. So the next theory would be the family member theory. We know that there are people in the community that believe a family member could be involved. And this brings me back to a case that I worked, Michelle Norris, and I mentioned it at the top of the show. In that case, her father, Daryl Norris, said that he dropped her off about 10, 15 feet away from her door, and he drove away before she got there, and that was the last time he ever saw her. She was found days later murdered in the woods. And I always ask myself, what if he wasn't telling the truth? What if he never dropped her off at all? All the work that was done after that could be just a waste of time. And I know a lot of investigators initially went off of that statement. So when you apply that to this case, the last bit of information we have is that Kevin saw Shay leave the house and moments later he went outside after her and she was gone. And if we're to believe witness testimony after that, they did see her walking to school. But what if some way Kevin picked her up and brought her back home? Or what if those witnesses are wrong and they got the date and times confused? What if Shay never went to school at all that morning? What if something happened the night before? What if this all was some elaborate plan? I pose these questions not because I necessarily believe in them, but it's what we have to do. And it does seem like that's what the FBI did. And so they have to look at family members, friends. They have to look at Shay's diary. They have to look in the house to see if there were any signs of struggle or abuse. You want to look into the backgrounds and criminal history of everyone involved. You want to talk to the other children in the family to see if there were any previous cases of sexual abuse that hadn't been reported. All this is relevant. Very difficult conversations to have, but something that needs to be done in order to do a thorough investigation. And so I throw that out there because I'm sure some of you are thinking it, and it's something that has to be on the back of all of our minds. And all I can say at this point is, it's not my strongest theory, and I truly hope that it's not the case. Now, this final theory I want to talk about, I believe is most viable, and it may surprise some of you because I've said the word abducted a few times in this episode, and I don't know if that's necessarily the case. As Kevin had said in his statement, when Shay was leaving the home, her backpack appeared to be heavier than usual. Could you have had a situation where there was something going on in the household and Shay had made the decision that on the first day of school, when her parents wouldn't expect her home for hours, she was going to go meet up with someone for the day or maybe for a longer duration. Maybe she was planning on running away. Maybe there was something that police found or heard or saw that suggested to them that Shay might have fled intentionally. Could it have been something they read in her diary or something they saw in the room? Maybe some clothes or items were missing. I don't know. They haven't disclosed that information. But if the backpack was filled with some belongings and she did in fact leave the house, then the witnesses reporting seeing her walking could be accurate. But what may have happened is instead of walking to the bus stop, she may have veered off her path and went in a different direction after last being seen and met up with someone that we haven't identified yet. Was there someone in her life that we are not aware of to this day who she was communicating with and had made prearrangements to meet up on the day of school, knowing that they would have 6 to 7 hours to hang out together or to go somewhere or to leave the community? I don't know, but that would have been a way of doing it. Hey, you know what? I'm going to pack up my bag. I'm going to leave in the morning. Maybe that's why when Kevin offered her a ride, she said no. And maybe that's why, even though there were some bad storms and she was normally frightened by those storms, she continued walking in whatever direction she was going. Now, if that's the case, she would have met up with this person. They would have maybe went to the abandoned house together, or maybe they went somewhere else first. But clearly, whatever was supposed to happen or what Shay believed was going to happen didn't, and this individual had other plans. But if that is the case, that means that this person was known to Shay. Has she ever written about them? Has she hung out with them before? Has she ever discussed this person with family members, friends, or associates? These are all things that have to be looked into. And if that's the case, that's where the scenario involving the fire could come into play. If it's not a family member who started it, you could have a situation where the individual who's actually responsible for Shay's death went back to the house with the intention on destroying any potential evidence that hadn't been found yet but was left inside her room that could connect this person to Shay down the road. Like I just said, it could be a diary entry. It could be something that she had hidden in her closet or under the bed. I don't know. But if that's what happened here, this person had reason to believe that they had to destroy the house as soon as possible to avoid a potential apprehension down the road. And as for where we stand right now, Beth said it best. We still don't have answers. We need someone to come forward. So, just to recap, on the morning of August 19th, 2003, Heaven Lachey Ross, known as Shay, disappeared from the Willowbrook Trailer Park in Northport, Alabama, while on her way to the bus stop. Over 3 years later, her remains were found beneath an abandoned house off 44th Court in Holt, Alabama, about 8 miles away from her home. If you have information in Shay's case, please call the Tuscaloosa Crime Stoppers at 205-752-7867. There is a reward available. And as always, my final words go out to Shay's family, Beth, Kevin, Alex. We're thinking of you guys. And I have no doubt based on what I've read, what I've seen, that you don't need any motivation. You're going to continue fighting for Shay as long as you're breathing. And we're just joining the fight. We're hoping that our small show here can do something and have an impact on the amount of people that are aware of Shay's case. And I want to leave this episode reiterating what Beth said directly to the offender. And I'm going to add to it. You have nothing to offer this world anymore. The only contribution that you can make at this point is to give this family the answers they deserve. So do the right thing and come forward. And I really hope that day comes. And if it does, I'll be sure to update everybody here. Until then, everyone stay safe out there. And I'll see you next week.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino. The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk. Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started today for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.